This morning's message is about my advice to you for 2017. I was going to preach it, I guess, 2 weeks ago now, but Mark got back from being sick, and we both thought it would be good for him to take that week, and I'm glad he did because the message was about the body of Christ. It was great. But this morning I have two words of advice for each of you, for me too. It's from the book of Lamentations, and you can go to the book of Lamentations now. It's between the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and if you have an electronic device, it's easy to find. The word Lamentations means to cry out to God in sorrow. It doesn't list an author, but most people believe Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations right after the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Jeremiah, along with Habakkuk and other prophets, had been prophesying to Jerusalem, to the kingdom of Judah, that if they didn't repent, turn back to God, that God was going to punish them, he was going to bring a foreign nation and to destroy them, the same as that had happened to the northern kingdom. In 586, King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, he came, and a few years earlier, he began to come, and one by one, he destroyed the fortress cities of King Zedekiah, and then laid siege to Jerusalem. And then in 586, they broke the walls down and destroyed the city, destroyed the temple. The king, King Zedekiah, was captured, and they brought all his sons in front of him, killed his sons in front of him, and then gouged out his eyes, so the last thing he would see would be his sons being murdered. Then he was taken in chains to the city of Babylon into captivity, along with thousands of the young, educated, brightest and best Jews in Jerusalem, off into captivity. As Jeremiah is writing this lament, he's crying out to God in sorrow. The Babylonians are gone. There's a remnant left. And as he's sitting on the rubble, looking around him, he's lamenting at what has happened. And he begins to ask the question, now what? What is going to happen now? What future can there possibly be for the Jewish nation? Then in chapter 3, there's a change. We're going to read it. And Jeremiah begins to have hope for the future. Jeremiah 3, we're going to start with verse 19. Remember my affliction and my wandering. As he's wandering around in the ruins and seeing the destruction of Jerusalem, the wormwood, the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Then something changes. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. So now he's looking, he's sitting on the rubble, he's just devastated, and then a thought comes to him. He remembers something. The Lord, in verse 23, the Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. These verses encourage me with two realities for 2017, and that's what this message is about. My advice to you as your pastor for 2017. These two realities I would give to, these two truths, these two words of advice I would give to any Christian as they look into a new year. The first word of advice is this, right out of this scripture. Number one. Number one. Never forget. Each day is a fresh start. There's something refreshing and exciting about a new year. That's why we have New Year celebrations. A new year is a hope for better things ahead. 2016 might have been a rough year, and so we look at this new year and we have hope and expectation, even the unsaved, hope and expectation that things are going to be different this coming year. A new year is just full of potential, possibilities. And so people are excited about it. What impacted my life, and what I hope I share with you successfully this morning, is that same sense of excitement that most people have at the beginning of the year, a sense of excitement of potential and possibilities for the coming day, you and I as a Christian can have every single morning. Every morning. You can be excited about that day. You can be excited about the potential and the possibilities of that day in the same way that we are at the start of a new year. All the failures of yesterday do not have to affect my attitude today. They do not have to affect how I experience this day. Now, who doesn't like a second chance? And if you're married, you like a second chance. And I'm sure you've heard the old saying, we serve a God of second chances. You see, what's important to our Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is not what you did yesterday, but what you do today. The enemy wants you to remember what you did. The enemy wants to keep reminding you of your failures. The Bible is full of people who messed up repeatedly. But as they looked to God, God forgave them and they overcame. Think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jonah, David, Paul, Peter. Quickly off the top of my head. If the Bible tells us anything, it tells us that yesterday's disappointments, failures, mistakes, betrayals, lies, loss is not the last word. Why? A new day is coming. And God has that new day announced every morning with a dramatic sunrise. I love this time of year because when I get up in the morning about 6:15, the sunrise is just starting. So when I do my devotion, I watch that sun come up. Our home is on a hill. I had the pleasure of building my own house, something I always wanted to do. It's one of those things that I always wanted to do, and I will never do again. But anyway, one of the things I did, we situated the house so it faces east, looking at the mountains, so we could see the sunrise. The whole eastern part of our house is just windows, I'm telling you. Our great room, I guess you'd call it, there, the kitchen's attached to it, and then the living room has windows all the way across. And it actually wraps around. So when the sun comes up, it's all-encompassing. At my house, a new day is announced by God in a dramatic fashion. Sometimes, because it's so bright. And have you ever noticed that two morning sunrises are never the same? Never the same. They're always different. They vary greatly. Likewise, God's mercy, His guidance, His anointing, His provisions are new each and every day. For that day. When the sun comes over those hills to our east every morning, they announce that today is as bright as the promises of God. Yesterday's failures are past. We are not doomed to repeat our mistakes. God has something new and great for us that day. This is the day the Lord's made. Every sunrise announced to me, God made this day. What's important to Him is what you do this day. And it's exciting. Something new awaits me today. This day is designed for me. It's designed for you. Yesterday's sins, failures, betrayals, lost doesn't hinder God's anointing, forgiveness, mercy, divine guidance for this new day. When our Lord looks at you, and it's a new day, do you understand that what He sees is the potential of that day? If you walk with Him, He sees the potential of what you could do in that day. Jesus is clear. Our Savior is clear in Matthew 6. He told us to live one day at a time. If we would do that, if we would look to Him, seek His kingdom first in that day, He would not only anoint us for that day and give us what we needed for that day, but he would bless our future. And in Ephesians chapter 3, we're told that our future would consist of things beyond what we ask or think. Now, every morning I try, I'm not going to say every single morning, one of the things I try to do during the sunrise or when I'm driving down my hill, I try to say this scripture aloud. Here it is, Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Have a cup of coffee. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Second cup of coffee. This is the day the Lord has made. By the fourth or fifth or sixth time, especially when I'm driving down my hill, I'm excited about the day. Do you understand? This scripture has power, and you just keep saying that until you're excited about the day. And I'm telling you, it works. Do you understand? If you drive away from your house excited about the day, excited about what God is going to do for you in that day, it'll change everything. At that point, it doesn't matter who your boss is, who you work with. God's got something for me to do today. So each day is a fresh start. Each day in Jesus is a fresh start. I am telling you, when that truth really, not just up here, but when it got into my soul, it changed my life. First word of advice, each day is a fresh start. The second word of advice, then we'll get out of here. God is faithful, so wait on him. Now, faithfulness is a characteristic I think that can be best understood by reading some words that describe it. Dependable, reliable, trustworthy, steadfast, true, loyal. I'm not talking about your little puppy. Committed. I just thought of that. Consistent. Shouldn't have said it. Unfailing. Unwavering. The concept of faithfulness has to do with dependability. And in the case of God, it has to do with the fact that God is faithful and he is going to come through on his promises. God is dependable. I want to read a few scriptures that proclaim the faithfulness of God. Now, I hope you understand that we could read scriptures that declare God's faithfulness for the next 15, 20, 30 minutes. You understand that, right? We could read whole stories about how God is faithful, but I just picked six or seven here. Just going to read them. Go ahead. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. He keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Psalms 33, 4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. This is Joshua. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. Not one word has failed of his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. If we are, this is 2 Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God doesn't lie. He has to do what he says. He is holy. We talk about the holiness of God. To me, what I always think about is God's faithfulness. He can be trusted. 2 Corinthians 1, for as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him and is our amen to the glory of God through us. No, as I was reading through this part of Lamentations, I thought, because there's a big shift here. I wonder, of course we have no way of knowing, but I wonder if Jeremiah's sitting on that rubble and he's lamenting about what he sees around him, and then he remembers a word that God gave him that he wrote down in Jeremiah 29:11 about the Jewish people. And it was this: for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for... I can't say that word. Say it for me, please. I'm a stutterer, and I'm telling you, the word that came out first service, I'm not going to repeat it, okay? declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for to give you a future and a hope. I wonder if he thought about that prophetic word and then he wrote verses 19 through 25. These words from Jeremiah remind us of God's faithfulness. He had a plan, like I said, for the Jewish people, and he has a plan for you. Now, Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, he prophesied around the same time as Jeremiah. So the people had all these prophetic words before them. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from your wickedness. Otherwise, God is going to destroy you like he destroyed your brothers and sisters in the northern kingdom. And in the book of Habakkuk, you can read it later, Habakkuk used these words to describe the society around him. There was violence. There was injustice, toleration of evil. There was destruction. There was selfishness. There was stealing. There was conflict. There was perversion and more. Habakkuk cries out to God, God, when are you going to do something? I've been prophesying all these years that you're going to come and do something. When are you going to do something? Look at all this. When are you going to do something? Then the Lord answers Habakkuk, chapter 2, starting with verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on the tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Stop right there. The one who reads my prophetic word about destruction of Israel will get on their donkey and go. Because my word never fails. And I'm going to do what I say. And if you obey me, you're going to get out of there. You go back, we didn't read the whole thing. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come and it will not delay. Again, God is faithful, so wait for him. Basically, God tells the prophet Habakkuk, as he's saying, what? You know, he tells him two things. Trust me and wait. Trust me and wait. Trust me and wait. He says, those who are righteous live by faith. Hebrews says it's impossible to please God without faith. So faith here in Habakkuk is defined as the ability to trust God and wait. Trust in God's promises, trust in his faithfulness, and then wait for it to come about. Those who are righteous before God live by faith, trusting in God's faithfulness that he will fulfill his promises. Now I'm going to read you, I think 6 or 7 verses that I've memorized in my life, promises that mean a lot to me, and I'm sure many of you as well. Psalm 145, 18 to 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Now, the next, most of you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on all your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. This is Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. And this, most people know this. You know, this is one of those scriptures you learn probably when the first week after you got saved. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then my favorite verse in the whole Bible. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. In other words, those who trust him, those who believe that he is faithful and wait on him won't be disappointed. So these are great verses, great promises. But there's one thing all these verses have in common. You know what that is? At one point or another, you're going to have, if you believe these promises, there's going to be a period of waiting. If you believe these are the promises of God, at some point, they're going to involve waiting. And if you happen to be in the midst of waiting right now, you're trusting in God's promises, but you're waiting for the fulfillment, I want you to remember this. God is never late. God is never late. You may not see anything working, but God's working. He's working in your life in that situation. God is never late. You see, God really is God. And he doesn't work in our timetable. And believe me, guys, give me a sec. Believe me, I learned this the hard way. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I was going with this girl, and when I gave my life to Jesus, she exited stage left. Sorry, Pat, that fell back behind the thing. I'm sorry. So I was praying for a miracle, believing for her to come back. And so I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast until I see the miracle. In other words, I was trying to take God's arm and twist him. How many? It doesn't work that way. So I didn't eat anything. I drank water. And a week went by, and the only thing that happened is I got really hungry. I could tell you more about that experience, but that's enough. God's really God, and he works his own timetable. You know, we just have to sit back and wait on God, trusting him. Isaiah 64:4, if you're in that period of waiting, is a very encouraging scripture to me. For from days of old they have not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. I heard a message by a guy named Bob Mumford probably 30 years ago. And he said, you know what that scripture says to me? That scripture says, put up the next slide, the Lord acts while we wait. I thought, holy man. So I wrote that in the front of my Bible. The Lord acts while we wait. The Lord is always doing something. He is a God of action. You may not see it, but things are happening. Things are happening in the spiritual world. Things are happening in the physical. You may not see it, but God is working. So my friend, with any situation, relationship, task, a lack of provision, when anything looks like it's impossible this coming year, don't act too hastily. Don't make a decision too quickly. Wait on God. Wait on God for his direction. God has a way of sifting everything and letting the dust settle so you can see clearly. God will always come through. God sees every aspect of your life. He knows all your panicky thoughts of what might happen if you don't do something right now. I know you heard me say this before, but I have a real talent, better than most of you. If anything comes into my life in a millisecond, I can write down 7 to 10 horrible things that can happen. It's a lot harder for me to write 7 or 10 good things that can happen. In a millisecond. Don't panic. Now listen to me here. The panic zone is the devil's workshop. The panic zone is the devil's playground. That's good. You can write that down. The panic zone is the devil's playground. If you start panicking, the devil's going to lead you around by the nose. The Bible tells us not to give the devil an opportunity. So when these things happen in your life, take a deep breath. Wait on God. Now, I'm not saying you're not supposed to fulfill your obligations, that you're not supposed to be diligent or be responsible, but you do those things, and then you sit back and you let God work. You pray, you read your Bible, you seek godly counsel. What I'm saying is you give Jesus a chance. You give God a chance, His Holy Spirit, to direct your response, your decision, your attitude. I'm going to share with you a scripture that has been a life verse for me. And it's kind of a different. You say, that's your life, one of your life verses? Oh, yeah. Here it is. He who makes haste with his feet errs. When I think God's giving me a direction, I don't walk, I run. And and when there's a situation that, you know, I'm the kind of guy, I want to fix it. I want to fix it now. I'm going to fix it now, 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 now. Poor Mark. He's been, you know, this relationship we have in this church has been very good because he's always, whoa, boy, whoa. Going ahead of God's leading so often leads to disaster. Too often, I put a person in charge of something without first praying enough about it and seeking God's word about it, seeking God about it. And it wasn't that they were in sin or anything like that. They just weren't the right person for that job. And then the person who got hurt the most was that person. And that would have never happened if I'd have waited on God. I'm going to challenge each of you today to make a decision, 2017, that before you make any big decision, any decision actually, before you react to a situation, you would do three things. You would pray, you'd seek the word of God, and you'd get some godly counsel. And then if you can, take some time to let the dust settle. Let some people pray with you, and let God let you see what you need to see. If you're running around like this, it's a hard, I mean, if we're running like this, I have a hard time focusing on you. At 64, you shouldn't shake your head like that. I just found out. But if you're moving around, you have a hard time focusing. If you do this, take your time, pray, get some godly counsel, look into God's word, the chances are you will not make a mistake. Psalm 37:23, this is the last scripture, and then we'll move on. Last scripture. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. He delights in his way. The Hebrew word established here, I did a little study, and it means prearranged. God has prearranged your step. When you get up in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made. Lord, thank you for this day. God has your step planned for that day. Wow. So if something happens in that day, God allowed it. Now, we have problems with that. But the fact is, God allowed it. It's not like, you know, something happens and God said, "Whoa, I didn't see that coming." Or you know what? That was a dumb, stupid decision you just did. You're on your own now. God doesn't do that. I led you this far. You're on your own now. No, God is faithful. This coming year, trust in God's faithfulness. Wherever you may find yourself. And then wait on Him. Wait on Him to lead you in that situation, and He will lead. His promise is said, I will lead and guide you in the way that you should go, but I will counsel you with my eye upon you. But so often, we have to wait to get the guidance. We Americans don't like that. I could take the next 10 minutes talking about that, but we all know. We hate to wait. I mean, we hate the DMV. And it's not the DMV, it's the bleeding lines. How long everything takes. Trust in God's faithfulness and wait. Let me have the worship team up here. Guys, I have given you a recipe for success. I try, what I have given you today is the way I try to live every day of my life. I fail. I'm sure my wife would tell you that I fail, but because she lives with me. But this is what I try to do. And the days that I do, the situations that I do, work out a whole lot better. Hope that was helpful for you. Amen.